I'm not even surprised, but he just whipped me into shape. He's just like, why don't we do this spin? And I felt like I was a tiny ballerina, like a 40-pound little baby. He just twisted me, and I felt just so...
He walked into set, and he was like, I know exactly what we are doing today.
Like, what an incredible man. He was...
Yeah. Yeah. And welcome back to the Really Bitchy Podcast with your favorite bitchy host, Christina Marie. And guys, let's just get right into my really bitchy recap. And you guys know that normally I would say, like, what a fucking week it has been, because I swear there's something new going on in my life every day. But being totally honest, this past week has been a little boring because of quarantine. Literally all I've been doing is watching tarot card videos on YouTube, eating way too much pasta, and playing Animal Crossing literally every single day. And if you guys listened to the last episode, then you know that I'm stuck at my parents' house back on Long Island during all of this stuff. Don't know when I'll be able to go back to my apartment in the city. I do miss it a lot. I miss waking up and having my coffee and my hectic lifestyle, my friends. Literally can't wait to be back in the chaos of it all. But in the meantime, we'll be chilling here. If you need me, I'll be in my childhood bedroom with my dog. So that was the really bitchy recap. And now I want to introduce you guys to such an amazing guest I have today. And I've actually never done a podcast remotely like I am today, but guess what? We had to learn to do this just for you guys so we could continue to have amazing guests on the Really Bitchy Podcast during the quarantine. So I have a pop artist here for you guys today. He was born in New York City, so New York City represents. He had his breakout success with his 2016 album Hell's Kitchen Angel and his single Lights Down Low, which generated over half a billion streams globally and earned double platinum certifications in the US and Canada and went gold in Holland and Australia. And then since then, Lights Down Low skyrocketed on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, reaching number 7 at the Top 40 Radio, number 1 on Shazam, and number 1 on Billboard's Adult Pop Radio Airplay charts. Holy shit.
Wow, these stats. I'm like, wow, okay.
I'm breaking out the stats right here.
You're living,
here.
Baby. I'm
on it. Of course. He was nominated for Best New Pop Artist 2019 iHeartRadio Music Awards. He has extreme success with his more recent music ventures as well, which we're going to talk about. But overall, this man, really great guy. I've been keeping up with his music throughout the year, so it's quite an honor to have him on the show. So with all of that being said, I want to introduce you guys to Max. So hello.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. What a beautiful intro. I'm honored.
I know. I was like, you know what? Let me pack everything into it. You know, how are you doing today? What are you doing today? You know,
gosh, I'm chilling. I'm keeping it cute. I'm having my coffee right now. I'm at my apartment, and then I'm gonna go into my studio. My parents are down the block, so I just go between here. I'm in La La Land right now, but I go between my apartment and my parents' place where I have my studio, and that's my routine for quarantine, you know?
Of course. Absolutely. I've been literally just chilling in the house all day, going, I've been trying to go outside to, like, get fresh air and, like, work outside and, you know, do what I can do. By the way, also, one of these stats that I wrote down on here that I actually didn't mention, but I thought this was hilarious. I saw that GQ labeled you as a young pop god, and I was like, that's, like, a really epic title to have.
It was wild when that came out. I was very grateful. I hit up the direct person who said that, and really? I was just like, thank you so much for this. Nobody said anything so nice. I'm gonna use this forever. Thank you. She was like, it's all good. We'll hang sometime.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, I was like, damn, when I saw that, I was like, I would love to have that title. But anyways, happy to have you on the show today, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time out during, you know, all the chaos in the world to come and chat. But I definitely want to kick it off by kind of just diving right into your music journey, because I followed up on your music quite a bit over the past years. I feel like your music just honestly keeps getting better and better, and you have unique pop sound to you, which I'm sure that's like a huge reason for your success. But I definitely want to know more about like where the music and the passion stemmed from. So we're going to start with the basic question that I'm sure, you know, all the interviews you do start with, which is basically what kicked off your music career and like what made you want to pursue it more? You know, we're going back to the roots.
Great question. Yeah. You know, like you said earlier, I grew up in New York. So I used to busk in New York and do, you know, musical theater. I started as a musical theater kid and and always writing my own stuff. But my first real thing was when I did this show called 13 on Broadway when I was like 16 years old, and Ariana Grande was in it with me and Liz Gillies and all those kinds of people, which was amazing. And I caught the bug right away at a young age and started doing my own thing. And I was doing the acting stuff and music, like musical projects, but I always just kind of wanted to do the music thing. I was realizing that on the acting side, I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it as much as my friends who were so passionate about it. You know, it was a part of my life, yeah. But I just cared about the music. And then I sort of kind of not quit acting cold turkey, but just said, you know, I'm going to just focus on music. And that was about, you know, like when I was 20, like 7 years ago. So that was, that's when the journey really began with it. And I started touring and I'm really grateful. Sometimes you got to make that sacrifice, even though there's good opportunities, you just got to know what really fills your soul the most. And for me, it was just doing the music. And that's when I started releasing stuff as Max. That's basically in the journey goes on from there with Lights Down Low and all the songs. So that's the beginning.
That is so amazing. Wow. Okay. So you basically started off as like a theater kid in a way.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still very much a theater kid. I always.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I used to do more like when I was in like, when I was younger. I mean, I'm only 20, but still when I was in like elementary, middle school, even early high school, I used to do theater. But then what ended up happening for me was that I started to grow bigger on YouTube. And then mm-hmm. I was like, I can't stay after school to do the theater stuff and do YouTube at the same time. And then that's when I was just like, all right, like what do I really want to do here? You know? Mm-hmm. And I was like,
exactly.
I want to pursue that. So yeah, I actually saw you in concert like, when was it? Like a little bit over a year ago. It was with Bryce Vine. I think mm-hmm. at Irving Plaza, you were wearing like this bright ass, shiny yep. New York jacket. Yep. It was so funny. Like when you came on stage, I was just like, because I've never seen you in concert before. And I just remember very vividly that was my first time ever seeing you in concert. And you mm-hmm. walked on stage and you are one of those people that automatically gives off the vibe that you love what you do. Like mm-hmm. the Amen. Energy you brought was like unlike any other concert that I have been to. So that was amazing. What would you say, tying it into that, because obviously I could tell that you're really passionate about it. Mm-hmm. What would you say that the most rewarding part of your whole music career is, whether it's the music, the touring, the fans, like, you know, whatever comes to mind?
The touring, definitely seeing people in person. That's my favorite thing. You come to that show, especially in the hometown, it's so special to just be able to connect in person with those people. And hopefully we'll be able to do that again through all of this right now. It's one of the things I miss the most, but there's nothing like hearing, especially songs that come from your heart, other people singing them as if they came from their hearts, that they mean something to their heart. And on that same tip, it's like with a song like Lights Down Low, you know, it came from such a deep place of, you know, writing it for my wife and proposing to her with it. And that always being there, it's sort of encapsulating a moment in time and having other people use it as their wedding songs. And that yeah. never gets old when people ask to, you know, get propose on stage or something like that.
Sorry to cut you off. I did not know that you proposed to your wife with that. That is so cute. Could you talk about that?
Yeah.
Like sure. how you did it? Go for it.
Totally. No, yeah, it was cute. We had only been dating for 3 months and I just knew she was it. It was pretty, it was Christmas time and she kind of asked me, she was like, I think I want to marry you. So she sort of proposed to me first. Aww. And then my heart was freaking out. It's one of those moments in your life where you're like, whoa, this is real life shit. This is crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel the same way. I probably want to do that too. Let's do that. And then I did an actual, so it was weird because she knew I was going to propose,
yeah.
but just didn't know when. So that was the whole surprise of it. So we're on tour and one day we're in Chicago, which is where we first met. And I had this whole thing planned where we had our first date at the Soho House and she was there with our mutual best friend who introduced us. And we had this whole scheme where she was going to bring her downstairs and I was going to sing the song to her with a yeah. harp player, because we always joked about waking up to a harp player waking us up every morning in our dream world and all that. And of course, morning of, one of the guys in my band, like, we were supposed to be in Chicago that night. We said we'd be there late that night, so it would be a surprise that the morning I would be yeah. Proposing. And he's like, oh, I fucking love Chicago. I'm so happy to be here. So she's calling me 10 times and I'm not picking up. And luckily my crew like tells her, oh, he's sleeping. We got here early. Don't come to the bus. You know, we'll see. We're just like, no, we planned this for months. And then finally I got to the place and our friend brought her downstairs to the same room we had our first date and she's like, oh, our friend works here. Let's go. She just wants to say hello. She's downstairs and she walks in the room and I have this classic photo where it's her face being so not knowing what's going on, then realizing what the moment
like
is.
Like what's happening right now.
And it's my favorite. I love the emotional cry face from her being like, what's going on, to just knowing that's the moment. Yeah. And then I just sang the song to her and my parents had brought the ring. I had gotten my grandma's stone put into the ring that she wanted. So and it was so last minute. And so my parents flew from New York to Chicago with the ring night before.
Oh my gosh.
So
real
they bring
troopers.
Me the ring. I'm singing Lights Down Low to her and I propose and they're in the corner watching the whole proposal because they brought the ring. And that was the story. It was glorious. I always knew when I wrote Lights Down Low that I wanted to propose to her with it.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of those moments where you know, you write so many songs, but sometimes you just know there's a song that you're going to use for that, or it's going to mean that forever. Mm-hmm. And that was one of it. So that's the story.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so adorable. And you know what, like how you said, like it got like messed up with like, you know, she found out you got to Chicago early and stuff. I feel like though, with like those sorts of things or in general, sometimes the most like perfect stories are the most imperfect ones, like mm-hmm. where little things happen and it's just like it just adds on, because you know you're telling me the story right now and it's like a funny extra little thing to throw in and something to tell people.
Exactly.
So that is so adorable. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I mean, continuing on, that is adorable. Absolutely love that. So speaking of the music, of course, I want to talk more about the music. Since you put out Lights Down Low, you put out Love Me Less, which reached mm-hmm. number 17 on the top 40 radio, has over 170 million streams worldwide. I got all the stats here. It just keeps growing and growing. Of course, that song. No, like I listen to that song over and over. It's a fucking bop. And then we also have You're Welcome. But then we also have Checklist, mm-hmm. which that got millions of streams since its release and also charted top 40. And I actually watched the music video for Checklist, which I know had Brendan Ansley, and mm-hmm. Patrick Starr, who's like a huge beauty YouTuber. I've been watching Patrick Starr on YouTube since like, oh my God, when was it? 2015. He was in this like beauty competition called the Nick's Face Awards, and that's how I discovered him. And I've just known him since. So I was watching the video and I saw him in there and I was like, what? But I definitely want to know about that too, because obviously like I'm in the whole YouTube realm. Like mm-hmm. how did you like pick that you wanted him in the video?
Oh, yeah.
Or like how did that go?
You know, the more I realized in this game of music, you realize you think that there's gonna be these moments where people are gonna like pitch for people to be in your videos, and then you just realize more and more that it only comes naturally, and that's only when it's good too. You just have to just dig into that. And with Patrick, I was at this amazing designer, his name's Christian Cowan, and we were at this show in LA, and you know Patrick's hard to miss. So Patrick walks in.
Oh, you know it's him.
Incredible turban headband, you know, his classic, and he's got the sparkly. I'm like, yo, who is this?
Yeah.
And he sits next to me. He's the one sitting next to me. So I talked to Patrick, and Patrick's like, oh my God, I know you. I listened to your music growing up, and I saw you on Broadway. And just the last person I thought was going to be the fanboy, I was like, I don't, who the fuck are you? You are spectacular. So we just get into it, and he's like, yeah, my brother and I, we've just been fans for a long time when you were doing YouTube covers and stuff. And I just was humbled, but also just thrown off. I just didn't expect it.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I just kept in touch. I kept seeing him at these different fashion shows and stuff. And we just got close. And then I wrote the treatment for the Checklist video, wanting this boyfriend boot camp, you know, just people teaching me how to be the best boyfriend possible.
Yeah.
So I hit up Patrick being like, I think you should teach me, you know, how to dance and just be the best gentleman. And then we didn't choreograph anything. We just on the day and in the video, I'm not even surprised, but he just whipped me in the shape. He's just like, why don't we do this spin? And I felt like I was a tiny ballerina, like a 40-pound little baby. He just twisted me and I felt just so...
He walked into set and he was like, I know exactly what we are doing today.
Like, what an incredible man. He was, so I love him. We've gotten close and he's amazing.
That's so funny. I remember I saw him, oh my gosh, I forget what awards was hosted at MSG. It was like oh my gosh, I think it was like my freshman year of college. There was some sort of award show being hosted at MSG. And so like me and my friends and like a bunch of people are obviously like camping outside of MSG to like see like who's going to walk in. Might have been like the Grammys or something. I don't know. Long story short, we see him get out of the car and you could spot that man from a mile away because he's so extravagant. We immediately, I was like, that is Patrick Starr and he looks fucking fabulous right now. Like it was so funny. But I know that you have like a... like a history in a way of putting YouTubers in your videos, like in Acid Dreams, you had L Mills and also actually one of my really good friends, Adeline. Adeline Moore.
That's my girl.
Love her to death. Yeah, I remember watching that YouTube video because that's actually how I believe me and you ended up following each other on Instagram because I posted about it. I posted the song and then you followed me and I was
that's
like,
my
oh,
girl.
Hey. But yeah, so then I ended up watching the video and I saw Elle and Adeline in it. And right after I texted Adeline, I was like, yo, what the fuck? I was like, I just click on this music video and you're in it. But yeah, does that like, did you just like decide you want YouTubers or you just become friends with them and you're I want to put these people in the videos or?
Yeah, I can't, whenever I'm thinking of videos, I'm always thinking of how to incorporate different fun characters. I think it comes, like, I'm just obsessed with collaboration, probably because I was an only child and I'm always thinking the psyche of it. I'm like, why can I not be alone? And why do I have to have everyone involved in everything I do?
Yeah.
And that definitely is a part of it. And so when I'm coming up with these videos, I'm always just trying to think of, especially with this series for Colorvision, I've been trying to figure out, oh, what are cool, consistent characters that you can maybe come keep popping up and and get invested in. And that's my favorite, when you can have the story go. So yeah, I've always thought Elle was the coolest. And we connected a few years ago and I was like, you would kill it as a character like this.
Yeah.
And I just pitched it to them. And it's been, and Adeline, same thing. You know, she came to a show and we came and we both loved Yellow. So we connected.
I was just going to say that. I was like, Adeline is the most vibrant, aside from you, the most vibrant person I think I know on the internet. Like,
I love it. So it's
that
amazing.
Correlates perfectly. Oh my gosh, that's so good. I love that. I love that it's like authentic that you're like, you know, it's not like people going out and like pitching these people. You're like, I want you in this, so I'm going to pitch it to you myself and kind of get like you involved and stuff. That's amazing.
Totally.
Yeah, and so, you know, we talked about, what is it, Lights Down Low, Checklist, you know, Love Me Less, Acid Dreams, the
killing
whole thing.
It.
So now let's talk about your most recent single,
sure.
Where Am I At?
Sure.
You know, I'd love for you to talk more about like the inspo behind that and like what it meant to you, because I just listened to it the other day and I feel like it's definitely a bit more of like a deeper song compared to like, you know, Checklist or Love Me Less. So if you could talk about that and talk about kind of the inspo behind that song, and, you know, go for it.
Yeah, it's such an intense one because I'm usually so transparent about all the songs. And then with that one for a while, I was trying to let it be whatever people wanted it to be. But I'm realizing I just have to be me and just tell the stories of all the songs. And if it affects people, it's all good. But, you know, that was definitely one that I've had for a few years and I knew it had to come out. It never feels like the right time. And it just was such a, it was almost, it's a piece of my, you know, some of these songs become a piece of your heart when you're releasing them and you do end up getting, you're afraid to put it out because then it really is in the world and then you encapsulated that time. And that song specifically was just about, you know, just about one of my heroes who was my, you know, my mentor growing up in my family. And when she passed away, it just sucked. I watched, she was 103 when she passed away and I would visit her every year with my wife. And I just, we got so close. She was just a really special person. And you know, sometimes you just don't think that, you can't even imagine what your life is going to be like when somebody you care about does pass away. And and when they do, you're not being able to call them or being able to be with them or give love to them. It definitely weighs on you and you don't want to think about it. But sometimes facing those feelings, at least for me, is the only way you can really give the proper love and respect to that person so they do live with you, so that you just acknowledge that it hurts like hell. And she's still with me right now. She was the most amazing person. And tiny little Jewish New Yorker taking the bus when she was 100 years old, you know? And so, yeah, that one is just about having your heart ripped out when someone dies that you love so much. So that's the sad story of that one. And I'm glad it's in the world. It's weird because it's almost like you hope that someone connects with it. You hope that someone, with that one, it was an odd thing because you usually put out a song and you hope that, you know, you hope it gets big and as many people hear it as possible and you love it. But there are certain songs you put out and you just have to have it out and hope that someone else has good cry to it as well. And maybe they release some energy. And that was one of those where I was like, I don't know if this is a big hit song or whatever else, but it's just something that needs to come out for me. And hopefully
It's something that like someone's going to relate to in a way, or, you know, be able to listen to and find comfort in that, you know?
Yeah.
I have that sometimes, like, I actually put out a podcast episode, what was it, like 3 weeks ago, and it was kind of just like a mental health recap, kind of talking about mental health. And that was the same thing. I was like, this isn't like any of my other episodes that's like a big, like, oh, like I have a big artist on it or doing something like that. It was kind of just like me talking to the people. So I'm like, this isn't probably going to get like as much buzz as like some of my other episodes were. Mm-hmm. But I was like, at least it could help someone. Someone could listen to this and be like, oh, I'm in the same boat, or, you know, kind of relate to it in a way and find some comfort in it. So, yeah, I totally, that's amazing. I absolutely love that, you know, that you want to put out music that, you know, even though it might not be a big hit, it's going to help someone. And I feel like that's what matters, you know. Totally.
It's the only way you can do it, right? Just keep it raw and keep it transparent. So that's that one.
Totally. Lightening the mood a little bit.
Love it. Let's get back.
Yes. Little Birdie told me that you have a new single coming out May 1st, from when this episode comes up, it'll be out in like a week and a half. So is there any sort of like sneak peek or teaser anything you could like tell us about, you know?
Ooh, what can I say? I'm really excited. The artist who's on it with me, I've been friends with I've been friends with for like 10 years. We went on a hike together when I first came out here, and she's just the coolest. You know, I love her music, what she represents. And let me think, what can I say? Her initials are HK. I'll say that, which is cute because I have HK. So I'll leave that in the universe. There you go. That's pretty great. But I'll put that out there. Fans will figure it out. I always love teasing. It's like, I have this other one that I've been talking about too much with, I have this, you know, Korean rap on the album, and I know those fans are just pissed. They're like, just say who it is. Stop annoying us. But sometimes you can't, you gotta wait till the right moment to let it out. And then there's also another part of me like that just loves, you just love teasing for a bit. I mean, once it's out it's out. So you gotta give a little love, but hopefully not be too annoying about it. So with her, it's amazing. This is a song that I've been really excited about for a while, and it's the next chapter. We're trying to figure out how to shoot a video during quarantine, which I think a lot of artists are trying to figure out, which is a new creative experience to try to figure out how to do
totally.
It.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know,
it'll be, I feel like if you shoot a video, like it'll be like a little more, What is it? Like a little more relatable, I guess, because everyone's chilling at home. It's like, okay, how can we make a dope music video while being from home, or at least being in the area or something like that? But that is awesome. I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about that all day. Who the hell is HK? I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm very excited. And then I also know that your upcoming album, Color Vision, is coming out later in the year. Is there anything you could tell us about that, or the inspo behind the album, or, you know?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Honestly, it's been really cool. It was a big rebirth for me. You know, it was wild. You said that show you came to, I'm so glad it was special for you. That was like such a special time for me, because that's sort of when this album really began, the thought of this album began, because I was at my lowest. I when you saw me, I had this vocal injury, which is called a polyp. It's where Adele's had it, Justin Timberlake, like the list goes on. But it basically, you can't, you have an injury on your vocal cords where you can't sing properly, and you have to get a surgery for it. So I got this surgery, and I couldn't speak for 4 months. And during the time when you saw me too, I couldn't speak after that show. I only use my voice for shows. This album was a rebirth. I mean, the whole thing of it, and that's why the yellow and all of it is about finding that light again. And it's kind of ironic during this time. I think we're all going through feeling like we're at our lowest, wherever you are, and trying to give love to the heroes that are doing everything. But we all still feel kind of strange and depressed, and you want to try to make it productive, but also you just want to watch The Bachelor. You know, it's like there's nothing wrong. I've watched like five fucking seasons of The Bachelor during this time. I never watched The Bachelor before it. And I just feel like, for me, that same album, it's been the message of trying to find that light again and find that energy where you can have hope, and so that's sort of been the theme of the whole thing, and why it stayed on the yellow. Because for me, when I lost my voice, I just hoped I could not only sing again, but just have the same happiness or life again. And you never know when you're in that hole, you just feel like maybe you're never gonna feel the same way again. And So for the whole album, it's been trying to find those colors, not everything being black and white anymore, trying to get out of those gray skies, trying to find just the feeling of being alive again. And so, yeah, that's why I'm excited for the album to finally come out this year during this time. Hopefully it brings some more of that light and energy that I need, and hopefully other people need too. So that's the theme.
Absolutely. That's amazing. You actually kind of, I was going to wrap up like this little section of the, podcast interview by asking you about the whole yellow thing. You kind of already elaborated on that, which is amazing. Cause I was like, what is up with the color yellow? Cause I was going to tell you, I associate the color yellow with like joy and happiness and everything too. So I figured it had something to do with that, but yeah. Wow. Okay. So it does have like a huge, like deeper meaning to it, I guess, you know,
always about bringing joy and wow, that reminder. Absolutely. It's funny. I can only find it it's constantly everywhere. And I wear so much of it. My wife is getting so tired of the color yellow. She's like, we're burning every piece of yellow clothing after this album is done and you go into a new theme. She's always like, I'm always wearing it because it just feels like I feel wrong to not have a piece of it somewhere. Yeah. And anywhere we go, she's like, you know, people aren't going to see you. You don't have to wear yellow today. You can just wear black. I'm like, I got to at least have the nails painted yellow or something, babe. Somebody's going to know.
Yeah.
I will know. That's what matters.
Exactly. But it's like it just gives you a peace of mind and brings you joy during the day anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So yeah, we're going to wrap up that section and we're going to move on to the section. What is this?
You've upgraded the call to unlimited minutes.
Yeah. I just got this like thing that comes up running out of time. We removed the limit.
C-Money, she's pro on Zoom. Y'all balling on Zoom.
I like barely ever use Zoom, but I was like, you know what? It's perfect for this and everything. All right. So we got the upgrade. We're chilling. We're doing good. All right. So now we're going to get into the segment that I like to call social media shit. We're going to spill some tea. In essence, this is basically like talking about, you know, something going on in the social media world or in the world in general. Mm-hmm. And for today's episode, because, you know, obviously we're going through this whole pandemic in the world and you're a musician, and I feel like there's a lot of stuff, you know, going on right now, which is, you know, the pandemic in the world versus the music industry, because I feel like the entire thing is taking a huge toll in the entertainment industry, music industry, all that stuff. I'm sure you probably experience it, you know, firsthand in the music industry as I am with the entertainment. So, you know, how has the entire pandemic and the lockdown and all that stuff, has it affected your music or like your plans, or are you doing anything different to like make it work?
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, you know, I had so many shows planned and they're rescheduled or canceled. But again, the saving grace, we all know it, is that we're all in this together and we're in the same boat in different ways. Whether, you know, we're not in together, there are people on the front lines, they're the heroes, they're the nurses and the service people and people who work at grocery stores. They're killing the game and they're the real heroes and we're just doing our part. But on the music end, I would say it's just knowing the pivot. I'm lucky, I guess, that I've always, you know, You take that moment where somebody, you know, something happens that you didn't expect. God laughs at your plans and you say, all right, how do I pivot from here? And with us, it's definitely been, okay, we were supposed to be touring for the next, you know, 7 months, 8 months. And now let's make some more music. Let's see who can collab. And it's been cool. I would say the best part of it is that I've connected with so many more artists to collaborate with on songs than I would normally, because we're all at home. So at least I can, I'm the type where if someone tries to FaceTime me, I just like, I decline the call and just text them. I'm like, what's up?
Oh, really?
But now I'm FaceTiming all these amazing artists and we've been doing more of those collaborations than ever. So that's the great part of it. I feel like there's so much more connection, and maybe you were, you know, there's some people there on tour, so you're trying to push it off and you're like, oh yeah, when I'm in album mode, I'll hit up this person. But that's been great. But, you know, on the other end, it is tricky. I thrive off of being with people. So I've only been I think I draw a lot of inspiration from that too, with even storytelling, with writing songs. So just trying to dig into the moment and, you know, figure out how we can, write about what's happening now or the fantasy of what it'll be like when it's not like this. So
yeah.
I guess that's the biggest effect, but I mean, I'm definitely feeling the no human connection in person is taking a toll in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely. For me, like with all my friends and whatnot, I'm so used to like waking up at my apartment, like going out, getting my coffee, hanging out with my friends, like, you know, even like the stupid little things, like my friends will text me at like 4 a.m. and be like, let's go get a milkshake at like a diner. And it's like, just like the simple little things of being able to like be around like your friends and other people and stuff. It's like, you know, it does take a toll, because I feel like FaceTime, like there's only so much you can do through FaceTime and whatnot, or Zoom, you know, and it helps. It definitely does keep in contact and stuff, but there's really nothing like being able to actually hang out with people in person and kind of connect in that way. But I actually didn't think about the whole the collaborations thing that you mentioned, because I was going to say that too, like, you know, because people aren't touring right now, everybody kind of has like more time to do collabs and to figure out all that stuff. So that's actually really awesome. And then I feel like something that ties into this.
Lock it in, tie it in, keep it popping.
Same thing. Was before we were talking about how you were trying to figure out how to film a music video while being in quarantine. So definitely that. I feel like a lot of people are doing things like that. It's crazy. And then, you know, for me, like, luckily for me, like, my job is fully on the internet anyways. So that was like a really big like thing for me. But I actually, like, you know, the podcast launch and everything is like still so fairly new. We just launched what was it, maybe like 2 months ago, I think, by now. So it's like I was so like, I was getting in like the podcast mode of like being able to have people come to like my office in the city and record in person and like do the whole thing like that. And then all this happened and I'm like, oh my god, I can't do that now. And it just like, it like took me for like a whole whirlwind. So obviously I was like, I gotta figure out how to do it through Zoom and that whole thing. So it changed for me in that aspect. But I feel like right now, sorry, hold on, my headphones are like falling off my head. But what was I gonna say? Wow, lost my train of thought for a second. So what I was gonna say, I feel like for at least social media, like people and like what I'm doing, probably you feel it a bit too, I feel like right now, because everyone's like kind of home, everyone's expecting content and everyone's expecting like a lot of things. And like, you know, my fans, at least, they're just like when's a new podcast, when's a YouTube video, like where's all the new content and stuff, because it's like they're eager for it way more now, because nobody's really, you know, we're all at home just chilling. So I feel like it kind of puts like a pressure on you in a way that you're like, at least for me, I feel that I'm like, oh my gosh, now like I'm like, I got nothing to do anyway, so I'm gonna put out more content. But it's like at this time people expect more content from me too, so it's crazy. It's definitely affecting both industries. It's taking a toll on everything, but I feel like, you know, just being able to know like how to make it work and whatnot is, you know, it's important. You're making it work, I'm making it work, everyone's making what they're doing work, you know? So that is it for this week's social media shit. Now I was like trying to create like these category names.
I love the category names. They're very bitchy podcasts. I love all the themes.
But important question now, are you good at giving advice?
I don't know. My wife's big thing that she's taught me is just don't give advice unless somebody asks for it, for sure. I think that's the best advice I've gotten about advice. And I think it's important for sure.
I never thought about it that way. It's like, don't give your like opinion unless like someone asks for it, you know, same thing. Wow. Okay. I'm going to keep that in mind. That's good. That's really good. Anyways, my advice is always probably some of the shittiest advice you will ever hear on the planet. Not even going to lie about that, which brings us into shitty life advice with Christina. So here's the drill. Basically, every week I tweet out what the listeners want some shitty life advice on, and then attempt to answer it.
So I guess this is the moment to get
this. The moment. So this week's shitty life advice needing gal is Liv. And Liv asked, how can I keep myself motivated during quarantine? And I thought this question was like super fitting because, you know, many people, such as myself, obviously, not even gonna lie, losing a little bit of a losing a little bit of motivation and procrastinating things while being stuck at home, because, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard sometimes when you're all like snuggled in bed and you have nothing to do, you know. So how are you staying motivated while being home, you know, whether it's with your music or just like your lifestyle in general, you know, whatever comes to mind?
Yeah, totally. I think a big thing everybody is feeling right now, and something that I see all the time, is like, oh, learn a new skill or take this time to do something new. And that's cool, but I'm always of the advice that if you love, if you're passionate about something, you love doing it, sometimes that takes away from you feeling like it's work or feeling like it's something that is, you know, that you feel guilty for giving your time to it. But if you love doing it, somebody else doesn't love doing it. And that's an important thing to, like, not everybody loves going to the studio for 10 hours a day and writing music, recording, or trying to hit up people for collaborations, whatever. If you find those things to be exciting and you don't feel like it's work, then dig into those things. Like, I'd love to learn Korean, but if I am not so motivated to do it, it's okay. As long as I'm motivated to do something and just dig into that, I'd say. So for me, it's been, what are the things that come naturally and I'm stoked about that won't take away from, that I don't feel like I'm pushing myself too hard to do, you know? And like with my wife, I hate shopping. I don't like picking out clothes. I don't like doing any of that stuff. And she's so good at it. And I think sometimes she feels weird about it or guilty that she's, you know, finding clothes for me for promo stuff or shows. Mm-hmm. But I'm always like, that's a skill. I would fucking hate to go to a store or go online and shop for like 4 hours. But to some people, maybe that feels that you feel guilty because you're like, oh, I'm just shopping. But you know what? Stylists shop all day for clothes and that's their job. So I feel like those are the things I've been trying to remind myself. Don't feel guilty if you love doing the thing you're doing and just dig in. Mm-hmm.
You bring up a really good point about the motivation thing, because I do feel like a lot of people right now are trying to, like, you know, because right now it is a good time. If you genuinely want to learn something new or do something new, then totally go for it. Yeah. But for myself, at least, like, I'm like, I want to take the time, not so much to, like, learn something new, but take the time to really, like, focus in and put, like, all my time and energy into the things that I'm already doing and, like, try and improve those, you know? So, like, you know, uploading more on YouTube or doing more podcast stuff, or one thing I've been really good at, which I used to suck at Instagram, like, posting on Instagram, horrible, not my strong suit, but I've been, like, on a roll during this whole thing. So that's, like, another thing. So I feel like, yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of pressure sometimes for people being like, oh, you got to go and do this, or you have to be productive with this, or, you know, do something new and whatnot. And it's like, I mean, as long as you're being productive with one thing or just really focusing on one thing that you feel like will make you feel like a better person or happy or make you feel like you accomplished something, then I feel like that's what really matters, you know? I just think a lot of people, at least for myself, I don't know about you, but I've been sleeping in till like literally 2 p.m. every day. Yeah. So for that, it like takes a toll on me, and I wish I could wake up earlier, but it's this whole thing going on. But I still wake up and I still get done what I need to. So I'm like, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of like the answer to the question. Like I said, this is shitty life advice, so it's kind of all over the place in every single episode. But yeah, I would say just, you know, focus in on one thing. Don't feel pressure to like do something new unless you actually want to, you know, and you actually want to learn something new. But other than that, stay productive with like little things at a time, you know, like even if it's just like, I'm going to wake up at, you know, I'm going to wake up in the morning this day instead of sleeping until 2, I'm going to wake up at 11 and I'm going to actually make myself breakfast and coffee and sit and enjoy it. It's like, okay, you got something done, you know? So I think just all the little things matter, honestly, you know, right? If there's any time to kind of take it easy in life and, you know, chill out with things and kind of go at your own pace, it's right now. So yeah.
That's totally the other thing. And if you want to play Animal Crossing for 10 hours, whatever, you know, Emily's been obsessed with Animal Crossing.
Oh,
I haven't gone down the rabbit hole yet, but she's loves it. And I think that's something too, you know, maybe this is the universe's moment for you. If you've been grinding super hard, maybe you just need to take it as a break for a second. Yeah. Everybody's on pause and go at your own pace. Or if you're the type that you need to push yourself, then push yourself to just try to do the one thing a little bit more.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, do you have a Nintendo Switch?
I don't have a Switch. I'm addicted to another really nerdy game, but I gotta stop playing it. It's
what game?
It's called League of Legends.
Oh my god, I know League of Legends.
So nerdy.
Of course.
It's the best. No.
You know what? I say embrace it. If it makes you happy, do it. Like, play the damn game. No, sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I used to play Animal Crossing on, like, my Nintendo DS when I was, like, way younger, like, middle school, maybe elementary school, even I think mainly middle school. So then when the new one got released and everyone was really hyping it up, I was like, oh my God, I need to get my hands on it. But the Nintendo Switch and even the Switch Lite is sold out like everywhere. It's so hard to get. But I ended up going on the Best Buy website at like the perfect time when they restocked and I got it and I was so happy. It's literally what I've been doing every single night. Pasta and Animal Crossing. It's love been my that. Nightly routine.
I know I saw in your intro, I heard too, and Emily loves tarot too. So been yeah. very into star signs and being a yes. cancer and all that stuff more than ever. And I'm on the train. I'm in. I'm
yeah, no, you know what? It's so weird. I feel like just being like at home and kind of just like, cause I've been trying to focus a lot more. Cause I feel like, you know, I'm sure you know from New York City, like New York City, really hectic lifestyle, especially mm-hmm. if you're like, you know, if you're like me where you're going out and you have a million things to do in a day. I'm like, okay, I wake up and I gotta go here and then I gotta record this and then I go to Tribeca to record my podcast and mm-hmm. So I live in Hudson Yards, not Hell's Kitchen, but it's right next to Hell's
Kitchen.
Very close. So yeah. So I'm going all the way down to Tribeca and you know, it's kind of like I feel like sometimes being there, I'm like very all over the place and very chaotic and I'm trying to do a million things, but I feel like right now and through, you know, the time that I've been able to kind of chill out during this whole quarantine thing that I've been able to do a lot more like self-care and like focus on like my body and my skincare and just doing things for me that I feel like I wouldn't normally have time to do, you know?
Totally.
So we're gonna wrap that up. That was the shitty life advice segment and that's really it for the show. So of course I want to say huge thank you to Max for being here today. If you guys want to go and follow him, make sure to check him out at Max Music. Go stream Where Am I At, as well as all his other music, you know, because why the fuck not? It's amazing. And of course, keep up, you know, on his socials for new single May 1st, album coming out later this year, Color Vision. And of course, make sure you guys go follow at Bitchy Podcast for updates such as new episodes. And I also post some cute quotes and memes sometimes. So yeah, but thank you all for listening, my lovely bitchies, for tuning in. Thank you to Max once again. And yeah, I'll see you in the next episode in a week and have a great week, guys. And I don't know if you want to sign off with anything, but right now is your time.
Keep slaying, baby. Love it. Thanks for having me. Stay spicy and hope you're all staying safe. That's what matters.
Beautiful. All right. Ciao, ciao, bitchies.
Ciao, bitchies. Let's go.